Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
This morning I want to share with you a new series. We're going to talk about developing a courageous heart. We're going to basically look through the life of Joshua for the next 5 or 6 weeks leading up through Easter. I believe it's going to be encouraging and important to you to hear this. So if you got your Bibles, you can turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. We'll be going there in just a moment. But last week, I skipped over a really important thing. Last week was our annual church business meeting. It was Vision Sunday. We took care of a lot of business. In the middle of taking care of a lot of business, I forgot a really, really, really important piece of business that I wanted to do this past week. And so I want to take a moment to do that this morning. And I want to publicly say a big, huge thank you to Brother Mark Goff. Brother Mark, would you just stand real quick right there where you are? Amen. Amen. Brother Mark has been serving the last 3 years on the church board. He was the only surviving member on the church board from when I got here 3 years ago. I don't know what that means. But he rotated off the board last week. And brother, I just want to say thank you for your, we're talking about courage this morning, your courageous leadership, your constant encouragement to me and Megan personally, and your selfish labor for the church. And we say God bless you and thank you so much for your service and serving well. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about a message simply entitled, It's Time for Courage. It's time for courage. Now, how many in the room would consider yourself a courageous person? Not a whole lot of us. Did you know one of the most commanded things in the Word of God? You take the most, what is the most command, if it was a trivia question, I'd ask it this way. What's the most commanded thing in the Word of God? What is it in the Word of God that you're commanded to do more than anything else? Do you know what the answer would be? To fear not. To not be afraid. The most repeated commandment in the Word of God is to be a person of courage. And you may ask yourself, I ask myself, why does the Bible say so much to not fear or to be of good courage, to be people of courage? Here's why. The answer is this. Living for God can sometimes be scary. Walking by faith can sometimes be scary. I know that in our culture today, when people hear about living for God, being a Christian, the picture in a lot of people's mind is this passive person that just, refrains from engaging in certain elements of society. And I suppose all of that is true. But more than that, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. But, James says that faith has to be mixed with works or action. And the action that your faith will always push you to do requires courage. My guess is all of you in this room have had moments of fear that you overcame because you wanted something better that was on the other side of fear. Does that make sense? For example, in 1997, this wonderful girl moved to my hometown. This story is about my wife, in case you're getting nervous. This wonderful girl moved to my town, and I know you didn't grow up like I did, but I grew up in this, we had these rules we had to follow. One of the rules I kind of grew up having to follow was that if you were going to date someone, they didn't just have to be a Christian, they had to be part of our fellowship. Anybody else grow up, and the problem was I came from a small town and a small church, and I'd already dated those three girls. I'd even ventured out to other cities around us. And I'm just going to tell you, you ever heard the term slim pickings? It was sort of slim. And so when I heard this girl was moving to South Arkansas, I just knew, God, you're doing this. This is for me. And we met and I discovered that, I wanted to ask her out. And I'm just going to tell you, that took a little bit of courage. I know you're thinking, well, Pastor, she would have been foolish to say no to your request. And I know that, but it still took courage anyway. And then a few years later, I wanted to do more than just date her. I wanted to marry her. How many guys in the room would sometimes say that question takes a little bit of extreme courage to ask someone if you'll spend the rest of your life with me, or if you go ask their dad if they'll let you spend the... That can receive courage. You know, I thought I knew the answer until I asked the question. Right? The question, do you marry me? I thought that, will you? I thought that was an easy one. I thought I knew the answer until I asked the question. But in the moments of silence, that she didn't say yes, by the way, immediately. Matter of fact, her statements was this: are you serious? Maybe it was, are you serious? I'm not sure which way it was. I just know it wasn't yes. And here I am, waiting for what seemed like an eternity. My courage was on the ropes, if you will. Following God's call to ministry in our life has required more than once a moment of courage. Some of you in this room, you know what it's like to face a life crisis, a health crisis, a relational crisis, a conflict crisis in your family that demands courage. You know what courage, simply defined, is? Simply, it's the ability to do something even though it frightens you, or it is strength in the face of pain. The truth is, all of us in this room, we've had moments or more than just one moment in our life that required courage. Some of you in this room, you are dying for some courage, and you don't even know it. You didn't even know that's what you were lacking or looking for. Well, how would I know if that's me? Well, you know, if you're sitting here this morning and you are just soaking in the failure of yesterday, once you fall, sometimes you're tempted to kind of soak in that fall. You're tempted just to soak in that failure. It's like a picture in your mind that you play over and over and over again. It's like you're stuck on repeat because you haven't had the courage to dream again or believe again that God can use you beyond your failure. But I want to tell you, God can use you beyond your failure if you'll be courageous enough to give him a chance this morning. Some of you this morning you're contemplating stepping into a area of service. You're contemplating serving God in a new way or giving to God in a new way, but you're scared. You're wondering about, what is this going to cost me? You're looking for courage to trust him again, even though you've been disappointed. Some of you have been disappointed by church. You've been disappointed by people, and you're wanting to serve God more. You're wanting to really lock hands with what God is doing in the moment, but you're wondering, if I do this, am I going to be disappointed again? But I want to challenge you today to have courage to trust God again. Every season of life demands courage. And I've discovered, and one of the reasons this series is so important to us, and you might even think that maybe you didn't walk in thinking this morning, you know, I really need some more courage in my life. Let me tell you, it's important to you because of this reason. Every step of faith will require more courage than the last step took. Steps of faith, as you follow God, get harder, not easier. They seem more risky, not less risky. It takes more of a gut check in those moments to follow Jesus when you first started following Jesus. And sometimes you think, man, that seemed hard a year ago, or that seemed hard 10 years ago. Can I tell you, it's going to take more courage for you to continue following Jesus in this day, in this culture, than it's ever taken before. And if you don't have the courage to follow God beyond today, then what happens is your life gets stuck on repeat. You keep hearing the same music, experiencing the same things over and over and over again. So this muscle, or this message is called developing a courageous heart. And we're using the analogy of a heart because, you know, a heart is a muscle. And how do you know you can't change a muscle overnight? Right? If you go to the gym one time, it doesn't change things. But if you go repeatedly, the rumor is it changes things. That's the rumor. The muscles change as you put them under stress. And well, this morning we're going to look at the book of Joshua, the person of Joshua, and he's going to teach us over the next few weeks how to have a courageous heart, how to develop a courageous heart. He's going to start today by simply calling us to courage. And if you don't know the story, I'll kind of give you the backstory on what we're about to see. The people of God have been in slavery to the Egyptians. They've been in bondage. They've been slaves for like 400 years. And a guy that maybe you've heard about, his name was Moses, receives this call from God to go to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to declare, hey, let my people go, because God's called them to live a life of freedom, not a life of slavery. And of course, the king doesn't respond, but through some very supernatural manifestations of God's power and God's glory over and over and over again, finally Moses brings the people of God out of Egypt, and they're walking from Egypt to the promised land where God's promised them, listen, I got a place for you. It's a place of prosperity. It's a place of blessing. It's a place of freedom. It's a place where I can use you and multiply you. And all these things that God's ever promised is signified in this promised land. And so Moses is taking them on this promised land, and it takes them how long to get there? 40 years. How long should it have taken them? About 11 days. It's about an 11-day journey from where they were to where God wanted them to be. They didn't take them 3 months. It takes them, or 11 days. It takes them longer than that to get there. And they finally get to the place of entrance. And instead of believing God to finish, I mean, after God has rescued them, parted the Red Sea, let them walk across on dry ground, fed them, caused water to come out of a rock, all these things to provide for them as they go from bondage to freedom. After all these things that God has done, Moses says, listen, I want you guys to go in here and spy out the land and see, is it really what God told us it would be? And all the spies went in, and they all came out, and they all said, it is wonderful, it's just what God promised us. But they all said, this is impossible. Except for two. Their names were Joshua and Caleb. And those two guys said, listen, we can do this. God said it. It is exactly as he described it. And so if he's brought us here and he's kept his word this far, shouldn't we trust him to keep his word? Again, come on, men, let's have some courage. Let's do things. But instead of being driven by faith and driven by courage, they were driven by fear and they were driven by popular opinion. Somebody needs to be careful when you're driven by fear and popular opinion and consider the word of God and the faith in God. And they listened to the majority instead of those that were faith-filled. And instead of going forward, they retreated. And God said, because of this, no one of this generation will ever enter into the promised land. And so they walk away from the promise of God. And they've been walking in circles for 40 years because they didn't have the courage to enter in. And now everyone who was alive that day when Moses sent them in, when Joshua said we could do this, when Caleb said we can do this, everyone who was alive that day has died. And now it's a whole new generation of people. Only three of them are alive: Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. That's the only three remaining. And then in Joshua chapter 1, let's look what happens the first thing. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, there's not three of them. There's two, right? Now, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river to the Euphrates, to the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, and no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you, but be strong and what? Be strong and what? How many of you want to enter into the promises for your life that God has for you? Then you got to be strong and what? Courageous. You got to be strong and what? Courageous. You're not going to enter the promises of God by sitting on the couch and waiting for them. You've got to be strong and courageous because you will tell these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn to the right, turn to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And by the way, if you want to skip down to verse number 9, here comes God again. He says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Here comes that phrase. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Let's pray over this. I want to tell you what this has to say to you this morning. God, we love you today. I thank you for every person, the sound of my voice in the room, and those watching online today and in the days to come. Lord, I'm thankful that you are wanting to develop something in us, and you're also wanting to develop something through us, and you're also wanting to deliver something to us, your promises, your plan for our life. So God, I pray today we'll be strong and courageous, that we will not just live our life walking in circles because we're afraid to follow you. So Lord, help me today to preach the Word of God, to preach the Word of God alone. Open our ears, our hearts, and our minds to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. And we'll give you thanks and praise, and we'll respond to what the Word says at the conclusion of this service. And everyone in the room said amen. So Joshua had seen the promised land. He'd seen what God had promised. And he had the faith to go after it, but no one else would believe him, with him. He was the only person of courage there, he and Caleb. And they've spent the last 40 years walking in circles, not because of a mistake they made, but because of the mistakes or the lack of courage and faith in someone else. And you would think that maybe that would provide an opportunity to get bitter, provide an opportunity to give up, provide an opportunity to just live in despair, but yet we find out that Joshua has kept his head on his shoulders. He's still serving Moses. He's still keeping his hands to what God put in his hands to do. And now Moses, the Bible says, is dead. I mean, you find the shortest funeral in history right here. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, get on. Right? There's no eulogy. There's no parade of all the great things that Moses has done. He's just telling Joshua, it's time for you to be a person of courage and to begin to receive what I've promised to you. I want you to know this morning that God has promised you something. One of the reasons you need to get into the Word of God is because it is filled with God's promises for you. I think one of the most harmful things in the world might be to be a person of promise and not know it. Think about how sad it would be if you had some rich uncle somewhere that you never met and has left you $10 million. It's in a bank account with your name on it. You just never knew it. Wouldn't that be sad? To have untapped resources available at your disposal? Some of us are living our life like that. God has given us untapped resources, his promises at our disposal, but we don't know about them because we haven't A, dug into his word to see them, or B, had enough courage in our heart to believe for them. And for years, these men have been walking in the desert. They're performing hundreds of funerals a day as people are dying left and right because they didn't have the courage to take a hold of what God had for them. And in this moment, life turns up the pressure on Joshua. He's going from being Moses' aide, the person everyone looked past, to being the man in charge, the one that everyone's looked to. And the truth is, God is calling you and I to more than what we're experiencing now, more than what we have now, more than we've tapped into before. But it takes courage. I'll put it this way. Faith gives us direction. Right? All of us in this room, you're in this room, I'm assuming you're here because you're a person of faith. Faith gives us direction, but courage gives us the first step to take. It moves us from where we are and where we've been into what God has for us. And so this morning, I want to talk to you how you can begin to be a person of courage. And here's why it's so important. Without courage, I said this on Facebook this morning, without courage, you will camp out in the places that God's called you to pass through. Without faith, without courage, you'll camp out in disappointment instead of passing through it. You'll camp out in despair instead of getting over it. You'll camp out in the past instead of grabbing a hold of God's future He has for you. I want you to understand this morning, the best life that God has for you requires courage. The Bible says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you got to get up and get ready to cross this Jordan into the land I'm going to give you. Because a life lived without courage, listen, friends, a life lived without courage will always be filled with circles of regret. I got a map of Israel's history, or journey. We're going to put on the screen for you. It actually shows you the path they walked from Egyptian bondage into the promised land. And if you'll notice, do you see this circle right up here by itself? It was right up there at the top of that circle is where Moses told Joshua and Caleb and the other spies, go in and check out and see if what God has promised is just not exactly what I told you it would be. And it was at the tip of this circle where those guys went in and they began to come back and report that, yeah, what you said is exactly how it was. But instead of displaying courage or faith, they displayed fear. And they spent the rest of their lives walking in circles. Have you ever felt like your life is going in a circle? Do you know what's keeping you on that circle? Fear. Fear to trust God with something you've been hanging on to. Fear of stepping into what God tells you to step in. Fear of staying on the path that God. Listen, did you notice these guys? They didn't need courage to do something new. They just needed courage to keep taking one more step on the journey God had for them. Some people, they jump ship, they jump callings, they jump ministries, they jump churches, they jump all these things every 6 months or so because it's easier to run than it is to stay and be a person of courage. And Moses calls them to be a people of courage. And a life, until we live with courage, our life will be filled with circles of regret. Last summer was a monumental summer at our house. We have a real small swimming pool behind our house. And those of you that know us, don't know of us, we've got now a five-year-old. She was four last summer. And she was starting just to learn how to swim. And I was trying to get her to experience the joy of jumping in the pool. And before she ever jumped in the pool, she spent what seemed like hours doing this. And I was in the water saying, jump, I'll catch you. Jump, I'll catch you. And she's like, and it went on so long, not just one day, it went on for days and days. And I was really tempted just to kind of sneak behind her. But I knew that wouldn't be courage, that would be coercion. And so, you know, I didn't do that. I just waited and waited, and I forgot what the breaking point was. But eventually, one day, she just jumped, and she discovered, Daddy does catch me. And then she decided she doesn't need Daddy to catch me. Her whole experience, and I've got this video. I started to play it for you this morning. I got this video. I'm just on the back porch, and it shows her jumping in the pool, getting out of the pool, jumping in the pool, getting out of the pool, jumping in the pool, getting out of the pool. She's going around and around in circles, and I'm sitting there recording her thinking, man, look at all this joy that was missing for so long because she didn't have the courage to jump. Some of you in this room, you're missing out on your best life because you haven't had the courage to trust God yet. Amen? And you're living life of circles instead of a life of victory because you're just standing on the edge of God's word thinking, I've read the word, I believe the word, why aren't I experiencing more of God's power, more of His victory? Because friends, your life doesn't change by the words you know, it changes by the word you act on. That's called faith, that's coupled with courage. Amen? There's a lot of things of God's word. Listen, you can go home and memorize this book. I would highly suggest it. Okay? But the transformation in your life isn't going to occur until you take what you know and you begin to live it out. I think it might be better to live out one verse than it is to memorize 10 verses. Because as you put your faith in action, James said, without action, your faith is futile. It's dead. It's like it doesn't even exist. And so you can't just have faith in your head. You got to walk it out and put it into action. Well, Pastor, what kind of courage do I need? You need all kinds of courage. Sometimes we need physical courage to follow God. I mean, sometimes following God can be hazardous to your health. I think about some of these missionaries as part of Kingdom Builder for 2020. I mean, when they go to build these buildings and lead these churches, they understand this could cost me my life. That's probably not going to be your case here in America. It's probably not going to be your case by following God to your school or at your workplace. But in some people, they need physical courage. They are risking their life. Others of us, all of us are touched by this. Sometimes we need to display moral courage. Right? The courage to stand for the right thing, no matter if anyone stands with us or not. We need moral courage in our day-to-day to stand for God and stand for what's right. We need, when I was in high school, I needed this so much. I needed social courage. I needed courage to stand for God, no matter how embarrassing it may be. I was on Facebook the other day, and I saw like 15 or 20 scriptures and faith-filled messages from students in high school. And I saw those, and I almost wanted to inbox every one of those high school students or those people I went to high school with and ask them, were you filled with faith like this as a student, and you were just hiding it like me? Because I could have been a lot more, I could have felt a lot better in my high school if I'd known these people of faith were people of faith back then. But because of I was lacking a certain element of social courage to say, hey, it doesn't matter what other people think. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to stand for Jesus. It doesn't matter if I'm the only one or if I'm one of many. Here's one thing I've discovered. If you will start having courage in your life, you will inspire others to have courage for their life. So you can change what's around you by a little bit of courage. Financial courage is something that a lot of people lack. They just need the courage to trust God with your finances. Trust God with the tithe. Trust God enough to see if he will not do more with the 90% you have than the 100% you're trying to keep. It's financial courage. There's times when all of us struggle in one of these areas of courage. But courage is what's required if we're going to follow God. I've discovered that following God is not for the faint of heart. It's not easy. It's challenging, not just one time, but over and over again. The more that we follow God, the more faith it takes, the more courage is required. And courage starts. Courage starts by listening. And how many of you like to listen? I mean, some of you like to listen, but you only like to listen to what you like to listen to. Right? I mean, that's why we have so many people walking around with earphones in their ears all the time, because they want to select what they hear. But courage comes from hearing the right thing. Courage comes from hearing the word of God. That's why Joshua said, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, he listened to God's word. Listen, a word of God must precede every action of courage. See, when we don't have a word of God, a word from God, you're acting in presumption, not courage. Let me see if I can explain this right. Several years ago, I was driving this vehicle that was like, I had 200 plus thousand miles on it. It was 10 years old. It had been around the world and back. And a friend of mine, spiritual friend of mine, came up to me and said, man, you really need to buy a new truck. And I said, I told him all the reasons I shouldn't buy one. He said, and he looked at me, he's trying to be spiritual. He said, you should just step out in faith and buy that truck. And I looked at him, I said, faith in what? Faith that I might get a raise? Faith that, you know, that rich uncle I talked about earlier, he's going to get out of the poorhouse and bless me? I mean, what am I expressing faith in by just taking this risk? He didn't have an answer. See, courage is not just taking a risk. Am I helping anybody this morning? Courage is not taking a risk that you want to take. Courage is responding to the word of God. See, if it's my idea, God doesn't guarantee it. But if it's his idea, then he backs it up with his word. He backs it up with his promise. See, courage isn't stepping out and doing what I want to do. Courage is following God and doing whatever he says for me to do. That's why James says, don't just listen to the word, but do it. You got to match what you hear and match what you're acting on. Courage starts by listening. It starts by hearing what the voice of God is saying. And also it continues by realizing that progress in my life starts with courage. It starts. I'm not going to go any further until I have courage that I'm going to follow God no matter where he takes me. Second thing this morning I want to tell you about real quickly. As I want to talk about, if you're going to have courage or why you need courage, is you need courage to fight for the promises of God. Look at verse number 3. Joshua gets some pretty awesome promises. I'm going to give you every place you set your foot. He tells him all the places that his territory is going to extend to. Then in verse number 5, he gives him another promise, which I think is just as excellent. He says, and no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. And here's the third promise. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I told you a few moments ago that God has promises for you. Many of you shouted hallelujah, raised your hand. I believe that. I hope you all believe that this morning. But hear this. Promised territory is often filled with problems and trespassers. See, Joshua didn't cross the Jordan. We're going to talk about that next week. I'm very pumped about next week's sermon. And so if you don't like this one, come back next week. But Joshua is very pumped about what God has promised him to do. But he doesn't cross the Jordan and discover empty cities. Right? He crosses the Jordan and discovers, I'm going to have to fight for the promises of God. Did you know that you need to fight for the promises of God? Sometimes I feel like that we think the promises of God is like Amazon Prime. We read it, we quote it, and then we sit down, and 2 days from now, it's going to be delivered at the door. And if they're not delivered in 2 days, like they're guaranteed, then we believe there must be something wrong with the sender. Must be something wrong with the scripture. We must have prayed it the wrong way or not loud enough. Or we begin to wonder. But listen to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 18. Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. Listen to this. May they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. Listen, you're not going to be excited about this, but it's going to help you. Promises do not remove the fight from our lives. Instead, the promises of God is how we fight the battles of our lives. You fight the battles in your lives with the promises of God. It's not a place where you sit down and wait for them to be delivered. That's where you take the word of God and you begin to charge hell and you begin to charge everything the enemy's tried to steal from you. And you say, listen, I've got a promise of God's word. I've got a promise from the word of God. And I'm going to stand against this thing that's stolen from me until he gives back to me everything the word of God says belonged to me. Some of you need to start fighting for what God's promised you. And you do it with the word of God. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians, it's not like I've attained all this stuff, but I'm pressing on to receive it. He's not waiting, he's pressing on. Let me ask you this morning, when it comes to the promises of God, have you been pressing through to receive the promises of God? Have you been fighting for them with the promises of God? Or have you just been waiting for them to show up in your life? See, it takes courage to pursue the promises of God. It doesn't take courage just to sit back and, well, if God wants it done, I guess he'll do it. Where's the faith in that? Where's the courage in that? Don't be disappointed when you find out that, man, there's a promise that God's made for me, and yet there's someone harboring that place or someone in that spot. There's someone trying to talk me out of what God's promised me. It's in those moments you need to recite the word of God to you and fight for what God's given you. And solidify, here's point 3, solidify your courage by knowing who is with you. Moses said, or God said, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. Josh was praying earlier this morning. He talked about how sometimes you just feel like you're in the shadow. Sometimes you feel like you're in that journey going in circles. Sometimes you feel like, man, am I really in this by myself? But did you notice multiple times God spoke to Joshua and said, as I was with him, I'm going to be with you. Only be strong and be courageous because I'm going to be there with you. Isaiah chapter 4 says, fear not, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, is what the word says. Matthew chapter 28, when God gives us the great commission, Jesus said, go into all the world. But remember, I'm with you. Listen, God promises, as you begin to take his promises, as you stand up in courage and begin to take hold of what he's promised you, that he's going to be with you even when it seems he's not, even when it seems absent. Years ago, Megan and I were going through a season. I don't even remember what the season was. And Tom, I don't know if you remember this or not. But we were going through something, and I don't know if she ratted us out and told you or not. It wasn't a marriage issue. It was a ministry type thing. But Tom got these scriptures. Do you remember this? And you cut them out. You printed them on some brown pieces of paper, and you printed them out, and you gave Megan and I two or three copies. And I put that on my desk. And there were some days I'd walk in there and I would see that scripture. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. Only be strong and courageous. There were some days I didn't need that. Some days I was on cloud nine. Didn't really faze me. But there are other days when I saw that scripture on my desk and I thought, man, thank you, Lord. It's good to know that you're with me. I want you to know this morning, God's with you. And you can display courage. How many would you admit you act differently depending on who you're around? Right? You ever been driving down the interstate and you look over to the car next to you and someone's by themselves and they're playing their air drums and they're just, you know, singing their guts out? You know why they're doing that? Because they don't think anybody's with them. They would never do that if they knew you were watching them. In the same way, sometimes we do things we would never do because we assume we're by ourselves. Sometimes we give in to fear because we think we're by ourselves. But if we realized he was with us, courage would come. Forgive me for speaking about my kids so much, but I kind of love them. Our five-year-old now, she's A little bit, just this much, struggles with a little bit of fear. And there's times when she'll go, you know, she wants to go to her room to get a toy or something. She'll ask, hey, Dad, would you go with me? Would you go turn the light on? Because I don't want to go, you know, whatever, the 30 feet from here to there by myself. And I try to be a good dad. And actually, I get a little bit of macho out of the fact that I get to be dad and go with her. I know the day's coming when she doesn't want me to go anywhere with her, so I'm just kind of, sometimes I enjoy the ride to go with her. But sometimes, I mean, I'm just lazy. Sometimes for me to go with her means I got to put my foot down out of my recliner, and that just, I mean, that's hard, you know? One honest person is with me in the room this morning. Yeah, sometimes it's just hard. And so when she can't get me to go, she'll get her 2-year-old little sister to go with her. And she gets just as much confidence, just as much courage out of our 2-year-old going with her as she does with me. And that kind of hurts my feelings sometimes. I can't get macho if she gets the same security out of Nora as she does out of Dad. But I can tell you, God is with you. He's with you. Whether you're going 30 feet or 300 yards or around the world, and courage comes not by getting this better image of yourself, which is nothing wrong with that. But courage comes when we realize God's ability, not our ability, God's ability, and that his ability is with us when we follow him. And Megan, if you want to come, courage is sustained as we keep our eyes fixated on him, fixed on his word. That's why Joshua said, Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written on it. Then you will prosper and be successful. Do you notice God told Joshua there's a connection between your success, between your courage, and your familiarity with my word? These two things are connected. Why are they connected? Because God knew what Joshua saw across the Jordan. What Joshua saw when he walked up to the Jordan. We're going to talk about that next week. When he walked up, he saw a river uncrossable. It was at flood time. He knew that what Joshua saw and what he heard would not always be faith building. So he needed something to help build the faith and build the courage that what he saw was tearing down. And I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. And I pray that in the last few moments of time, two things have happened. I pray, number one, that you do have a reality. You've come to an awareness that God does have more for you, that God does have promises for you. He really does. There is more to life than what you've been experiencing. If you've been following God for 10 minutes, 10 years, or for decades, God has more for you. There's promises He still wants to deliver to your life. There's unfinished work that He wants to complete in you. But the difference between having God's promises in our mind and in our life and seeing them come to pass is often the difference is a step of faith. And that step of faith is either hindered or helped by our ability to come up with the courage to follow God or to keep following Him down the right direction or to start following Him down a new direction depending on where you are in your journey. But I hope, number one, this morning you've received the idea, the reality that God has more for you. But secondly, I pray that you've also heard this morning that you can't afford to keep spending your life going in circles. And those circles are not caused by where we're stationed or by what we're doing. Those circles are caused by our response in the places God's called us and our response in the battles we're facing. Do I have the courage to keep believing? Do I have the courage to keep trusting God? Do I have the courage to keep expecting Him? Do I have the courage to take the promises of God and don't just think, wow, that would be nice if it were to happen, but do I have the courage to take the promises of God and say, Lord, I'm gonna stand on these. And when my emotions fight against what the Word of God has promised, I'm gonna believe the Word over my emotions. I'm gonna believe the Word over what I see or what I feel. That takes courage. I know it does. But here's how we're gonna pray this morning. Here's why I've asked you to bow your heads. You're sitting in the room today, say, Pastor, I feel like my life has been going in circles. And it's a circle that's been dominated by fear. I just haven't had the courage to trust God with a particular area of my life. You've been too afraid to surrender what He's challenged you to surrender. And that's kept you in a circle instead of moving forward in your faith. And you feel like you've kind of been on that treadmill this morning. You've just gone around and around and around because you haven't had the courage to trust God in the way He's calling you to trust Him. Today, I'm calling you to courage. I believe the Holy Spirit of God is calling you to courage. Courage to trust Him. Courage to believe in Him. Courage to follow Him forward. Courage to stay on the path He has for you this morning. Pastor, I need that this morning. I've been going in circles. Would you lift a hand real quick? Says to me, Pastor, pray for me. Amen. 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 Amen? Amen? Several across this room today, I'm going to pray in just a moment that God gives you the courage to continue to follow Him. Secondly, this morning you're sitting in the room today and you've heard me talk about courage and putting your faith in God and believing God, but you've never really started that at all. You're not a Christ follower. You're not following Jesus. He's not the leader of your life today. Maybe you've heard about Him before. Maybe you've been to church one time before. Maybe you've been to church 100 times before. That doesn't matter. But if you've never committed your life to Jesus, I'm going to ask you this morning to do something that's going to take some courage. Follow Jesus. Commit your life to Him. It takes courage, but you'll never regret it. The prize on the other side of this step of courage is so worth it. Jesus said that He came in John chapter 10 that you could have life and life to the full. He's just waiting to deliver to you abundant life this morning. If you have the courage to say, Lord, I confess, I need You. I got to have You. Can't live without You. I want this life You have for me. And today you're living a life divorced from Jesus. You're not following Him. Maybe you started one day and you walked away from Him. Maybe you've never chosen to give your life to Jesus. But today, that's your day. This is your day to come home. This is your day to start again. Or maybe it's your day to start for the very first time following Jesus. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out, but I would love to lead you in a prayer. If that's you, lift a hand real quick. That's me, Pastor. Pray for me. I need to start following Jesus today. Amen? Amen? Who else today? Amen? Would you stand with me all across this room this morning? A couple of people lifted their hands saying, listen, I need to start following Jesus today. Can I tell you, those of you who lifted your hands, you just made the best decision of your life and the most important decision of your life, to follow Jesus. And we, as a church family, consider it the joy and the pleasure of our life to pray a prayer with you right now corporately to say, hey, this is my life being changed. This is my life changing direction. And when we're done saying this prayer, and when I'm done with the service, Eddie and Brandy are going to be standing right over here at the corner of this platform, and they would love to pray with you more and tell you what I'll do now that I'm decided I'm going to follow Jesus. They'll be here to lead you through that. I'd love to pray with you. But we're going to pray with you as a church family. And so, church, would you say this prayer with me out loud? Just as encouragement for those around you. Dear Jesus, thank You for loving me. Thank You for living Your life for me, dying a sacrificial death for me, and rising again on the third day. I believe You're alive right now. And because You're alive, I can have a brand new life. That's what I want. So Lord, forgive me my sins. Free me from my past. From this day forward, I'm going to follow You. Thank You, Lord, for new freedom and new life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap for those who made that prayer for the first time?
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.